Good evening, everybody. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Audit Committee. It is September 26, 2022. We're starting a little late because of technical difficulties. It is now 8:40 p.m. Eastern. So that is the call to order. Madam Secretary, would you like to take the roll call?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Tara Brown?
Here.
Aileen Rosen, here. Edona Guys?
Here.
Jean Dingman?
Jim told me he was probably going to be late.
Okay. Catherine O'Sullivan?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Marilyn Bogdani.
I'm here, Adriana.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you, Fred. Bella De Soto. Evelia Jones. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Elizabeth Milos.
Here.
Zach Caldier. Caldier, I'm sorry. Adriana Casnave is present. Egberto Willis. Okay, Madam Chair, we have 9 present at the opening. We have 4.
Okay. Let me just... Okay, I'm trying to get the agenda in a format where I can put it into the chat, but I'll do that in a minute. All right, so the next item is, and also our executive director, Stephanie Wells, is here with us tonight.
Sorry, can you repeat it? I couldn't.
Oh, sorry. Our executive director, Stephanie Wells.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I forget that someone heard that well.
You are coming. It's a strange. Your voice is not clear, Aileen. I don't know if it's my computer or...
I don't know. How does it sound to everybody else?
A little better now.
Okay, a little better now, yeah.
Yeah, it was like in and out a little bit, yeah.
Sitting forward. Okay.
No, DeSoto is here.
Ella's here? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, so can we get some timekeepers?
I'll be timekeeper.
Who was that? I'm sorry, that was Marilyn?
Marilyn, yeah.
Okay, and as usual, you know, people speaking for the first time, we get 2 minutes, and then if they speak a second time on the same issue or same point, they get 1 minute follow-up. All right. Let me read the rest of the agenda. The following point is the approval of the agenda. Then point 2 is, you know what? I think I am looking at the closed session. Whoops, hang on a second. Got too many things open here. Nope, that's not the right one.
I cannot hear you.
I'm mumbling, that's why.
Oh.
Sorry about that, okay. We selected timekeepers. Okay, the next point on the agenda is agenda points requested by committee members. The first one has to do with conflict of interest and whistleblower policies. We've got 10 minutes for that. And the second point under there is to revisit the motion had to do with looking into delays at units for the audit. So that's another 10 minutes. I put the motion in the audit, in the agenda document. So I'll put that up. Who is Cook speaking? Let's see. Sorry, Elizabeth, go ahead.
I was wondering if we could turn those around. In other words, put the motion first and then the other conflict of interest, because the conflict of interest issue and the whistleblower policy is could be considered new business, since we have not considered, we have not taken that into discussion yet.
I agree, Bella.
Bella, please ask for the floor before speaking.
I think she was second. I think she was seconding.
We don't have to second the committee. There's no
seconding
in committee.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. I don't really have any feelings about that. We can do that. Sure. Okay, and then after that, we just have new business, if there is any, and the next meeting date, and then we would adjourn to executive session. So I'm going to try and motor through these a bit. Can we approve the agenda, or are there any objections?
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, yes. What is it, Bella?
I just sent out Elizabeth Milo's reminded us that Article 13 of the bylaws, conflict of interest. I just sent it out to
Bella?
You in the group.
Thank you. Thank you.
If that
we'll
can
discuss
serve.
It when we
may
get
I
there.
Finish?
I heard what you said.
May I finish?
Sent it out. Thank you. All right, finish.
Can I finish my thought, please?
Adelante.
Thank you. So I'm hoping that that will serve. I also have a whistleblower policy motion that was passed by the PMB just about 3 years ago. But because I just started looking for, I have not been able to locate it. If I find it, I will send it. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk about it when we get there. All right. Any objections, or is the agenda approved? We'll take it as approved. Thank you.
Okay.
Donna, go ahead.
I'm going to move to accept the agenda. But, okay.
All right. Let me write that. All right. So I guess we can go to revisit the motion, which I will read aloud. And then I will give my personal opinion, and then we can discuss it. Whereas the PNB Audit Committee is entrusted with the duty to facilitate the audit process so that this can be carried out in a timely manner, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB Audit Committee strongly urges the PNB to direct the PNB Finance Committee to look into any delays at any unit in the documentation required for the audit for fiscal year 2021 and recommend solutions or corrections as needed so that the audit 2021 can be carried out to completion in a timely manner. So, what I wanted to say about this was, aside from the fact that it's now obsolete because 2021 audit is done, I understand it could be adapted for more general use. But before we get into that, I think we are going to discuss some things in the executive session that would touch upon the contents of this motion or the need for this motion. So I personally would rather put it off until we get to those points in the executive session, which would have to do with how we're going to approach some of the deficiencies that are noted in the letter. But I'll leave that there. I don't know if anybody else wants to comment on that.
Marilyn Steck.
Go ahead, Marilyn. Oh, wait, I think other people were before you. We have Elizabeth first.
I've already spoken once. I would give a seat to Marilyn and speak after everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll say the same for Bella then and let Marilyn.
No,
okay.
I would not. Thank
right.
you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to reaffirm that the motion is not obsolete. Whether or not there will be highlights or items in the closed session that we may touch upon, it is very critical that moving forward, this needs to be adopted, and it should be adopted in its original form. The reason why we are here is because this was never attended to for years. And so this has become a cancer, and it has affected us in this audit season, and contrary to what others may feel. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, then I think Marilyn was next.
Yes, I'm timing myself. yes, I think the motion is very important. We had a report in an open session about delays that we have this time. So the audit is finished. That's good. But we could just change the wording to say needed so that future audits can be carried out to completion in a timely manner. I don't know if that would be a big problem. If it is, we can just leave it in. But if no one else is saying this, I think it's important that the audit committee take a stand on it. Let me see. Delayed in the audit and recommend. Yes, all we'd have to change is so that future audits can be carried out to completion in a timely manner. And it puts out the strength of our committee behind this request. And I think it's really important that we adopt it. I thought we had adopted it before. It, when the audits were not completed, it hadn't been forwarded to the PMB, but I think it needs to be now. That's my contribution. Thank you.
So the
I have my hands up.
Okay. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to state that the original motion was actually sent to the audit, to the PMB by our secretary. And while at the meeting where our secretary was, had not been able to come, we had made a decision to send it, to change this one based on the thought that it had not been sent. When it had been sent. And I take issue with being a part of a committee where a decision is made and a motion is passed and that the chair decides not to send it.
Okay.
Or let me finish.
That's like a dead horse that you're beating. But go on.
Well, no, it's not a dead horse, because what I feel, and I'm sorry to say this, and I think I'm being very polite when I'm saying this, okay? What I feel is the need for a recommitment on the part of the chair, and this is not a personal, it just has to do with our role, a recommitment on the part of the chair to fulfill her obligations to the committee and making sure that whatever motion that is passed here is passed on to the PMB, and that there be no, I understand you gave your opinion about that this motion could delay the audit, but there was no, as you can see, there was no timeline either in the original motion or this motion. The original motion had a delay related to one particular station. Okay.
One second.
That was the original.
Elizabeth, timekeeper, please.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. So, yes, we do need to make this a very important thing, and it can be changed for future audits, but we do need this to look into this, because there are some things that require us to be looking to make sure this doesn't continue to happen. Yeah.
Okay, question. Do we want to rewrite it to make it more appropriate for now? Does somebody want to do that? Amended,
Madam,
or whatever?
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto.
Bella, go ahead.
I think that Marilyn proposed a very quick fix by indicating moving forward for the future audits.
Yeah, but the actual language, it needs to be written in.
But the issue is that we should be dealing with the original language in order to attempt to do that now. And remember that we spend quality time writing this out, that particular meeting.
I'd like to be recognized. Yes. Okay. I just carried out the proposed changes from Marilyn by just taking out audit 2021 and putting future audits can be carried out in a timely manner.
Okay. I thought it came up.
I put it there. I'm sorry. Audit.
Put it where in the chat?
I put it right here in the chat where it just said for as needed so that future audits can be carried out to completion in a timely manner. Yeah.
Okay. Let me make a note to. Here it is. Okay. Marilyn, is that a hand from before or is that a new hand?
That's a new hand. I just wanted to say, yes, I want to second what Elizabeth said because nothing else needs to be added. It's mm-hmm. clear if we replace those three words with the two I gave.
Okay. If it's done, then I'll send that to where it goes and I will copy all of you when I send it. How's that?
Is this approved then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't vote on it. We need to take a vote.
Yes.
Are there, let me do this. Are there any objections to accepting this motion?
Madam Chair, I have my hand up.
To the PNB. Okay. Please don't interrupt when somebody, let's have a rule here where we don't break in until somebody pauses, like at the end of a sentence. So that we don't
my hand up.
I hear you, Adriana, but I was finishing a sentence and you broke in. I didn't see it because I'm, looking at documents and I'm speaking. So I'm just asking for us all to be courteous and, just to let the person finish the sentence so we don't talk over people and then have to repeat things. Okay. Adriana, go ahead.
I hope that applied to all of us, right?
I hope so.
Okay. What I'm saying is, can you
wait
see?
That
is the natural thing, Madam Chair. That's the way that we act. What I'm saying is, normally it's the secretary, the one that sends the motion. One that the motions are approved, like we did before, I send it to the PNB. I think that's the way that it is. And if everybody wanted, I can add the committee. When I send the motion, I can put that. That is the job of the secretary. That's the only thing that I want to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's great. Might as well. Then everybody will see what's going on. Bella?
No, it was about that. It was about the process.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else have their hand up or can we move on? Elizabeth?
My apologies to the secretary for putting in the motion there. I thought it's the secretary that writes the motion, and I'm very sorry, I wasn't aware of that. But I do know that it's the secretary that sends motions.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
My apologies. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll do that. I think we've got that down.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
According to what I understand of Robert's rule, sometimes interrupting is required, like if you're doing point of information or point of order or something like that. So, I mean,
sorry, there I go.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Right. Apply to everybody.
Yeah, I think, the only time to interrupt, even with point of order, if it's something egregious, if a rule is being broken, if you need to stop the person from saying what they're saying because it's, but I'm just asking people to wait for like a comma. That's all. Let us move on, however. So the next point is to talk a little bit about conflict of interest and whistleblower policies. And between Elizabeth and Bella, I think they hopefully have a chance. They hopefully sent previous policies or something from the bylaws that concern those. Now, when I was asked to include these on the agenda, I wasn't quite sure exactly what aspect of them the writer was asking about. She was kind of general about that. So, Elizabeth, do you have a hand up?
I do, but I have one question before we follow through on this.
Okay.
Did we end up actually voting on this yet or not? On the motion that we had?
No.
We did not vote on it. Did we have any objections? None heard? It passes by acclamation? Okay.
Finally.
Okay. Onward then, back to conflicts of interest and whistleblower policies. This is part of a bigger, I must want to let Stephanie talk about this. You want to jump in with that, Stephanie, because she and I had a brief conversation about this point recently.
Sure. No, what we have, you know, it was posted in there, a policy. But what we don't have, and this is, again, kind of a bigger picture company-wide, is that conflict of interest forms need to really technically be signed by every member, director, officer, employee, any sort of interested person that would sign a conflict of interest disclosure statement when they start their term of office, their employment, or any sort of other relationship with the organization. I think it would be difficult, of course, for us to do it as far as every member goes, but our volunteers and our directors and the employees work with conflict of interest forms and whistleblower forms. So I think what we need to do is that we have the policies that are in the conflict of interest.
Eileen, we can hear you. Can you mute, please, Eileen?
Can you mute, Eileen?
We have the conflict of interest form, you know, or the conflict of interest policy, but now we just need to be able to implement, again, board members, volunteers, and any other officer signing that and filling out if they have a conflict of interest and stating what that conflict of interest is, and then also signing a whistleblower policy as well. So I don't know if that would be something that the audit committee. I don't know if the audit committee would be the source of moving or, you know, making some sort of motion with that or promoting that needs to go forward on a national basis. But this is something that I have spoken with the board chair about already, because we do know that these are things that we need to put in place. But again, it's part of a bigger picture. We also need board members to sign, you know, everybody to sign their non-disclosure agreements, ethic and behavior agreements. You know, those kind of things. So that's pretty much what the conflict of interest and whistleblower policies are about.
Madam Chair, you're muted.
Yeah, I know. Hang on a second. I'm trying to send this to Jim Dingaman. Let's see. God damn it. I don't know why this is taking so long. Okay, then. No.
I'm being
a little.
I can send it to him if you like, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Would you kindly
yes.
do that?
Yes.
What happens when I'm trying to. You know,
yeah,
I can only do so much multi-step. Okay, where were we? So Stephanie explained that I missed all of that, of course, that we want to, you know, get Pacifica's general management in order, and that includes sort of, you know, getting these policies written the way we want them written and getting people to sign the things that we think people need to sign. Is that basically it? Hang on. Let me open up this and see who's first. Marilyn was first.
Yes, I'd like a definition of what is that form composed, and it's something that we just sign and say, I have no conflict of interest. Is that what it is? Or who is defining what a conflict of interest is? Or is this a formal document from someplace else, or a rewrite? Could Stephanie please explain what she's talking about here?
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, yes. Adriana.
I think that we should change because they say COI. COI is exactly, is not conflict of interest in our bylaws. COI is Committee of Inclusion. That is a committee that is specifically designed. We need to change that. Sorry, that's all.
Okay, that was just an abbreviation. Okay, Bella's next.
Yes, I would, hang on. I was just sending Jim Zingerman.
Okay, let's go on.
I am here, Madam Chair, and I would like to speak. Thank you. Okay, so I want to agree with what has been said. I you know, there are a number of variations. I wish I would have known earlier, and I would have been able to locate the actual whistleblower document, which I do have in my computer, but I have tons of documentation. So I will get to it eventually, but not tonight, it seems. But the conflict of interest, I would like Stephanie Wells to redefine this area, because I would not be, I would not want to be a party to any revisions, additions, amendments to what is already stated or inferred in the bylaws. Thank you.
Okay. Nothing would be, this is Stephanie, nothing would be rewritten from the bylaws. I think the policy is stated, you know, very well as to what the company believes to be a conflict of interest. What a conflict of interest policy that the board and volunteers sign is that they're agreeing that they do not have a conflict of interest based upon the policy that has already been established.
Right. I wanted to hear those words from you. Thank you so much, Stephanie Wells. Mm-hmm.
I did find a whistleblower policy in an employee manual.
Yes, uh-huh.
That's the only place I've hang on, Bella, because I've, you know, combed through what I could find of policies and things.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll find what we have and put it together and, you know, move forward on things.
Yeah.
Elizabeth?
Yes. Could somebody allow me to share my screen, or would you like to please put this on your screen? This actually the definition of conflict of interest in our bylaws. Do we need to look at that or not? I think it would be good if we looked at it. The reason why I'm saying this is because it's in Article 13. The reason why I'm mentioning the issue about conflict of interest is because my interest is when you mentioned, Stephanie, signing these documents, for example, the non-disclosure agreement or things like that. I understand that there's certain things that should not be shared because they could, you know, they most organizations have things that should not be shared. But this organization, we have a history of wanting to make things as open as possible. That's part of our mission, in fact, making sure that we are accessible. We are listener sponsors. So the listeners are actually what you can, if you translate into other terms, they're actually our shareholders, the listeners. And so that's why we want to be able to be as open as possible. What I've seen, however, that there has been people who are on the LSB who have, define themselves or try to define themselves as some kind of whistleblowers when they do have a very clear financial interest or a possible future financial interest in the outcome of their actions and transactions. For example, the FCC petition where a member of the LSB, Sherry Gendelman, as president of Pacifica Safety Net, filed the FCC petition. I also, at the time when I first came on the committee, we had a director of the PMB who is no longer the director, who was involved in trying to promote that FCC petition, and he was a member of the audit committee. I think that there are certain standards we need to live by. We cannot have members of audit committees that agree with or vote for these kind of actions by members or support these kind of actions by members of this organization, because those actions are not only in the terms of the director of the PMB, a violation of fiduciary duty, but also a violation of the duty of loyalty on the part of the LSB. So we need to have very clear definitions of what constitutes a conflict of interest, such as the one I've just mentioned. Also, what constitutes whistleblowing. A whistleblower is not somebody who will benefit from the actions that he's taking. A whistleblower has no invested interest in doing so, only the interest of the organization and the actions of the FCC, filing the FCC petition does not qualify as such. So one last thing. One last thing. There's also been an extremely abuse of the executive session where there's no discussion or no explanation as to what is going to happen in the executive session throughout the organization. And also considering things confidential when they probably should not be considered confidential. So any signing of documents, I always get very upset, very kind of wary of signing documents because, you know, I don't want us to go towards a tendency of closing things off to our listeners instead of being more open. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Adriana, you have your hand up. Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, I agree with Elizabeth. One of the main reasons, I think that sometimes people confuse our board with the Pacifica board. We are an organization that the board is only representing the members. We are supposed, one of the big problems is the, it's not transparent. Most of the time, the things are keeping secret from the owners, the shareholders, the owners, the members. And I agree that some things are executive session because it's very clear and very defined which one are and are the ones that can hurt the organization if it's disclosed earlier. But the rest, it's not any reason. I agree with Elizabeth. Most of the time, they use executive sessions not to be accountable for the actions that they are taking. And that is unacceptable. I can sign everything that you want. But trust me, when something is, I'm elected by the members. The members choose me. Not the executive director, not the other LSB member, not the PMB. The members give me the authority, and I run in transparency and openness. I agree, like I said, that something needs to be executive decision because can affect the interests of the foundation, but not to hide the problems that we are having on the back of the members.
Thank you, Adriana. Marilyn?
Yes, my view. Yeah, I just want to say that this issue of conflict of interest in Article 13 clearly relates to people who have a financial interest in some business operation or deal that's going to be made by Pacifica, and so that they have no financial interest that mean they will profit from this deal. It's to prevent corruption. It's obvious. Now, and Stephanie has been involved in this, transposing this conflict of interest argument. Oh, sorry, that's Adriana's time. I'm sorry, I should be timing myself here. Hold on. Okay. Has been translated to say that people who are producers, paid or unpaid, have a conflict of interest if they are on a program director search committee or an evaluation committee of the general manager or the program director, which would mean that staff could not be involved in just about all of the tasks and powers and duties of the local station board. They couldn't be involved in B, which is selecting a pool of candidates for the GM, or C, evaluating the GM, or D, evaluating, selecting candidates for the program director or evaluating the program director, or they couldn't even be involved in G, which is to work with station management to ensure that station programs fulfill the purpose, because, say, they would allegedly have a conflict of interest because they're producing a program. This would negate the bylaws, Article 7. If this being a producer or being a staff member meant you have a conflict of interest and could not be involved in basic tasks, and then they would not even be elected to the local station board. So this is a huge issue. It involves who gets to be or who wants to be or who gets elected to be on the general manager amendment management evaluation committee. Stephanie Wells has taken a position that argues that, and this is a very serious thing that's happening to us, and we have to be very conscious what the manipulations behind the scenes are. So that's why I want a clear definition of what you mean, Stephanie Wells, by a conflict of interest. Would a staff member or program program producer?
Yeah, you know, got it. This is Marilyn. Time's up, Marilyn.
Okay, this is Stephanie. The majority of any sort of conflict of interest form that is signed by board members and employees with any, even just with board members, with any nonprofit that I've ever worked with, strictly deals with them signing one or two little lines that say basically, and I'm pulling one up from that I've, you know, signed and used at multiple other companies, and everything of course would be run by our legal counsel, that basically says, you do not have a personal or financial relationship, direct or indirect, with any person or organization with which the foundation has dealings, except as follows, and then those are listed. Or I have not received, nor do I expect to receive, directly or indirectly, any gifts, privileges, or other benefits as a result of the dealings of the foundation with any person or organization, except as follows, and then you list those, and then they're signed. It's really just to make sure that, say, for example, a contractor is being hired to run or help build out a studio at a company, that we just want to know that, oh, okay, well, this person is part of that company, and therefore they may make money, you know, some money if that company is hired to do some work. But we know that up front, and we'll put out the correct RFPs or whatever is necessary. Or maybe someone is, the product is being pitched on air as a thank you gift, but those products are being purchased from a board member, and we're not aware that that board member is making money, and then that board member is saying we have to pitch that product. It's strictly financial gain, that you're not using the foundation for a personal financial gain. That's what, when the government is asking for a conflict of interest form on your 990s, when the CPB is asking for, do you have a conflict of interest form, that your board signs? It's strictly to make sure that no one has a financial gain from something that is a relationship that they have that they're not sharing with the foundation. And that doesn't necessarily mean that if someone owns a, you know, publishing company and we're using their books for our premiums, they would just list on the conflict form that, oh, I own Jane Smith Publishing. And then when we're going to purchase products from that company, we would make sure that that's the best price we're getting and that we've really done our due diligence in trying to find maybe two or three other companies that provide that same product. So it has nothing to do with the conflict of interest of who's getting involved. It's strictly financial, that we're making sure that someone doesn't get an under the table financial gain from a relationship with the foundation that we are not aware of. It just protects everybody from potential fraud. And it also also protects us from nepotism or favoritism. And it just keeps every sort of transaction that we have financially above board and transparent. That's what a conflict of interest is.
I'm just going to interrupt for a minute. Fred, you knocked what I had on screen off, and now we're looking at your Windows screen. So I'll just ask you to stop sharing, Fred, if that's okay. And just one tiny note. I was recently looking at the CPD website, and I think I saw some words, payola and plugola, which I guess could also apply.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think programmers were, you know, somehow getting something out of promoting somebody else. But we, that would be incorporated. That would be kind of included in a conflict of interest.
Exactly. Or there are some programmers that are asking, again, that we purchase a product from a certain company, but they own that company. But the company has another name.
Yeah.
So they're making profit twice if we're paying them as a programmer. And then we're also paying their company indirectly because they have a DBA for that business. So it really is making sure that we have, that we know who's related to what, and if there is any money that is exchanging hands, that no one is taking advantage of the foundation by overcharging us or double dipping or payola.
Okay, thank you. We have some hands up. We have a bunch of hands up, and the meeting is actually should be done any minute. Jim Dingaman, go ahead.
All right, we're in closed session, correct?
Nope.
No.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, I will refrain.
Okay. Thanks. Bella?
So I am cautious too. I agree with Marilyn. We have got to be very careful. I am aware of the Paola and the other sister policy and with the CPB,
okay.
The FCC. But the thing is that, quite honestly, if this stems from the executive sessions that are used to hide, as it was noted, certain actions away from the larger knowledge base of the membership. The membership is what we need to be cognizant of at every time, at every turn that there's a decision to be made for the foundation.
Thank you.
Because they are the stakeholders. Thank you.
All right. I would like to let Sarah Brown speak because she hasn't spoken yet.
Good evening, everybody. I'm sorry. I have the flu, so I'm not showing up tonight. Quick question. In the past, have these been referential documents or have they been standalone documents? So what was the format they were in? Obviously, they have to fall underneath the bylaws and be they have to interpret the bylaws and be related to the bylaws. But what was the actual format of past versions of these two documents?
They're pretty standard and also kind of ubiquitous. I don't know what ours look like, if we've had them, or how they look in the bylaws or how it looks in the employee manual. If you just Google them online, you'll see, you know, a million versions will pop up.
Well, specifically, I was just asking about our particular conflict of interest and the other document. Sorry, I can't even.
It's a whistleblower.
Yeah, yeah. I just was sort of wondering what the format that was used in the past, because this doesn't sound like it's something that's hasn't been done before, I guess.
Yeah, if it has been done, it hasn't been done consistently or often. So I'm not sure how to answer that. Anybody else have an answer?
Adriana, if I might answer.
Adriana does, yeah. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. First of all, please, I don't know whose screen we are watching here.
Yeah.
That's okay. First of all, Stephanie, I really applaud you for what you said, but I think that if you just look at emails that you receive in the executive director emails, you will see that this is a constant in this foundation. The payola is part of the thing. I can tell you more than that. Sometimes the premiums, some executives, interim executive directors, may the station accept some products that we are selling, that we have produced, and we are the beneficiaries were people from the station. And they were obligated, the station were obligated to buy those premiums. I will not give name because I give enough names in the right time. But I hope that this is applied because it's easy to say. But you see that is not happening. I can send a million copies of that and show that. And we don't need to go so far. A few months ago, I sent you and the lawyer and the PMB a lot of information about the situation like that in my station, very clearly, and how a conflict of interest was so clear. I even sent the clips from the rain. I mean, I agree with you. The concepts are wonderful. The reality is nobody, I mean, the majority, the people that control the PMB, control the rest of the foundation, and they don't take any actions against the people that break this permanently. You know, people are being enriched, if you want, from the foundation in the meantime that the foundation is going down. And we all know that. We all have proof of that. I hope that at some point in time, we will have a PMB and an executive director that put the foot down and said, enough is enough. This is not, this cannot happen anymore. But trust me, I'm at least 10 years in the foundation, and I can give you a million examples that this is happening all over. I hope that you can change that around. Thank you. You are muted, Aileen. I cannot hear you.
That's right. I was muted. I was saying that, sorry, that let's let Jim go before the others since he hasn't spoken yet tonight.
Yeah. Look, the conflict of interest issue is a very serious one. But then people, this is my opinion, people play games with it. They basically exploit it for their own interests, their own factions. We all know that. People here in these phone calls, people who have been on the boards in the past, either in management positions or in PMB positions, they have left us with a sorry mess to have to handle right now. All right? And they had inflection points throughout the entire period of time for the past 20 years to do things differently. They didn't. All right? Now, the conflicts of interest, there's other laws outside of the bylaws. They're the laws of the state of California. They're the laws of the federal government. And I have to say that given the fact that we have a particularly litigious group of people that basically will pick any little tiny statement and decide to threaten you with a lawsuit or actually initiate a lawsuit, that and then use the whistleblower, California law, to justify this. And I don't have to explain. Everybody knows what we're talking about. This is a pretty serious issue. And yes, the FCC complaints, in my opinion, are aimed at wider interests, obviously. And so the conflict of interest stuff has always been in Pacifica from the get-go. There's never, ever been a, quote, clean period of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Let's see. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yeah, my interest in clarifying this is because I do not want to see people using the term whistleblower when, in fact, their position is not as a whistleblower, but rather the position they stand to gain from, trying to litigate against Pacifica and drain Pacifica of its resources. And my interest is that there be processes, well-defined processes for people to be able to use in order to correct any problems in the future, because people end up wiggling out of any kind of consequences. It's just not acceptable that there are no consequences for those who are violating their fiduciary duties and violating their duty of loyalty on the LSBs and being a party to these actions, such as the FCC petition. For me, that the potential loss is very great. And yeah, that's my point, basically. And hopefully we can do this. Hopefully the PMB and ED will be able to work on this in the future very soon. I'm sorry, I had something else, but I forgot. Sorry, go ahead.
Come back to it. Marilyn, would you mind if I jump in for just a second with a question for Stephanie?
Go ahead.
Okay, Stephanie, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but everything people have been saying, you know, is important and, you know, needs to be looked at somehow. But if I'm not wrong, whistleblower policies, I think, are they mainly to protect workers who may have detected something wrong in the organization, and the whistleblower policy is to protect them from retribution if they were to report what they saw wrong, like if they saw their boss stealing money and they have to tell their boss's boss or somebody on the board, whoever is the right person to tell, you know, then would their boss come back and fire them or something like that? So maybe you can clarify, or does it go beyond that to some of the things?
Well, there's the whistleblower policies. What we're really looking for, and what the IRS usually looks for when you have to check those two little boxes on the 990, is a whistleblower policy that does protect the employees, and employees paid and non-paid employees. What it really does is just kind of lays out where can employee, you know, if an employee is being harassed by their boss, where can they go if they can't talk to their boss? And it just kind of maps out and protects where an employee can go to talk about what they've, as he said, what they've seen or what they might have experienced, and it will protect them from retaliation.
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, I just sent...
I'm sorry, Marilyn is... Oh, thank you.
Just wanted to let you know that I sent everyone the policy, the whistleblower policy passed by the PMB October 19th.
Bit of information, Madam Chair, before I'm sorry. We have established time for executive session. Why don't we let the people that didn't speak or a few minutes more, because... And then go to executive session. Why don't we stand? Because if people want to talk in open session, we need to extend it a little because it's 8:32 already.
I think that's fine with me.
Extend by 10 minutes.
Move 10 minutes. Does anyone object? Any objections? Done.
I would say, I'm sorry, I would say 5.
Well, let's stick with 10, and if we finish before that, we'll end sooner. Is that
okay?
So otherwise, we have to amend it. Okay, let's do that. So we've got until 9:43 if we use up all the time. Thank you. Marilyn?
Yes, I just want to, I'm puzzled a bit why this has come up. I guess it was a PMB decision, and I wondered what was the origin of that. My view is that
what do you mean by this?
Conflict of interest as well as the whistleblower issue. But I'll start with the conflict of interest. Conflict of interest, when I read Article 13, it's clear that our members and people on our boards should be aware that they don't have a conflict of interest and should be forthcoming if a conflict of interest arises. And people who hide it are going to lie on their form anyway, and I don't exactly know why we're suddenly concerned about this, unless some government agency has come at us with a gun to our head and said, you have to sign this or else. That's different. If that hasn't come up, I'm not quite sure what this is all about. The second thing is, then, Stephanie, you're saying that you are not applying this to staff and paid staff and volunteer producers, or any kind of volunteer producers, paid or unpaid staff. You were withdrawing your support to Arthur Schwartz, the Pacific Council, and his claim that these people should not be on the committees to select or evaluate the GM or the PD or the evaluation of programs, which are being ineligible for a majority of the tasks of the LSB on the in the bylaws. Are you saying that you're withdrawing your support from that, which you did give articulate to the WBAI LSB?
I'm a little unclear as to what you were asking, because I'm just kind of referencing conflict of interest for any financial gain within the organization.
Good.
So, I mean, I'm not too sure what I've denied before. I don't know what it is that you were bringing up regarding WBAI, because I'm just kind of focusing right now on any sort of financial gain conflict of interest, which again is just to support the company and to support and to protect us in case there is somebody that is buying products from themselves or a contractor that we've hired that we, you know, that's making double money off of us. Even if a conflict of interest form is signed, we at least have in our records that it wasn't. So, I mean, that person didn't claim that they had a conflict of interest. So I'm not focusing on personnel working on committees or sitting on chairs. I'm focusing on what the IRS wants us to have, which is a conflict of interest form that no one is having any sort of financial gain, money exchanging hands, or benefiting from their relationship with the foundation.
I'll just interject for a minute here. I think we didn't mention that when somebody does indicate that they have a conflict of interest, the board in question can vote on whether or not to allow the person to stay where they are anyway, because they're aware of it. So it's not, you know, immediately drop dead and get out of here if you have a conflict.
Well, right. And if a company, say, for example, somebody owns a plumbing company, and they sit on the board, and the board is voting as to whether we should get into a contract with this plumbing company to come and do work at the facility on a regular basis, if we know that someone on the board owns that plumbing company, they would step back and recuse themselves from voting. We would get RFPs, as you know, three or four legitimate ones, and determine who has the best price. And if we do determine to go with that person that sits on the board that owns the plumbing company, they again would not be in the vote to determine whether we use that or not.
Okay, thanks. We've just got a few minutes, so let's move on. Let's see, Elizabeth.
I think, I'm not sure, Flip, can I say? Am I speaking here? Okay. I understood, to answer your question, Fred, you're asking why is the audit committee talking about this issue? Because the documents that I received at the beginning of becoming a member of the audit committee included documents that talked about the different functions of the audit committee in terms of reviewing policies and looking at them. And making any recommendations. It's not as if we have the power to make the change ourselves, but rather looking at the recommendations. And I find that I find that there is misconceptions regarding what constitutes a whistleblower. A whistleblower cannot be somebody who would be getting any kind of possible potential gain, financial from the foundation or from the what I would consider the destruction of the foundation, which is actually what is going on, which in my opinion is what is happening at this moment with the FCC petition because of the danger of the potential loss to Pacifica Foundation and the attack against WBAI. That is the main reason why I brought it about. And I'm saying this is my opinion, but it's pretty clear when somebody is a president of Pacifica Safety Net and is at the same time a member of the LSB and is filed a petition with the FCC that is not a whistleblower. The other thing that
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, that's time for you.
Okay.
We've got to move on. Next is Dim. Dim Dingaman.
Yes. I would caution in an open discussion here, issues that pertain to how we're interpreting the bylaws as it pertains to personnel decisions, as has been raised in the past few minutes, because these I know are quite contentious, and people want to interpret them the way they want to. And then, of course, there is the situation of opening the foundation up to yet another frivolous lawsuit. So I'd caution folks to be talking about the conflict of interest, parts of the bylaw, in relationship to issues which we know are contentious concerning personnel paid staff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Next is Bella, and this will be our last comment before we adjourn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I disagree with Jim. And I agree with Ms. Miles. I know for sure, even at KPFK and KPFB, we know that the ED has allowed, knowing full well, the violation of our bylaws for two individuals who are paid staff to serve on the LSB while serving as managers in management position at KPFK and KPFB.
I'm sorry, I think point of order, this needs to go
no,
to
no, I will finish my thought.
No, Bella, you're out of order.
Whereas I am not out of order. This is precisely why we need to dialogue this issue here.
You're
this
referring to personnel who
I
could easily be identified.
I am finishing. I
no,
am
Bella.
Finishing. Right now,
I moved to
whereas
adjourn this meeting.
Has got a new general manager. IGM.
You're opening up this committee.
This is inappropriate.
Who resigned? From our LSB.
This is inappropriate to discuss these kind of things like this in an open session, please.
Thank you. And Fred is our. Fred is our CPB. Aren't you one of our CPB?
Is quite
there are no names involved. This is not a person.
But it's easy to identify people where there are so few people working, one or two people. So let's take this to executive session. Do you want to continue?
You care very deeply, Eileen.
I'm sorry, Bella. You are out of order. I'm the chair.
I am not out of order.
Yes,
I
you
am
are.
Not
Bella,
out of order.
I'm the chair. If I say you're out of order, you're out of order.
That does not mean you are correct.
That doesn't matter.
You are out of order.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm the chair.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I want an information. This is talking about personnel. Please, let's go to executive session.
We are not talking about personnel.
Yes, you are. This is ridiculous. We all know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe you know, but the rest
of I'm going to throw you
don't
out.
Don't play
of-
dumb, Marilyn. Give me a break.
Sorry, I threw her out of the meeting. I put her in the waiting room. Because it's not, we can't risk this. We can't have this. So I'm sorry about that. Do we want to take a little break before, between, well, let me move to adjourn. Do we
Madam
have
Chair,
any?
Before that,
yeah?
What is the number that we will call? It's
the
same.
The same. It'll be the same.
We'll just cut
the stream.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Do we want to take a little 5-minute break?
Sounds good.
Okay, we're back in 5 minutes. That'll be 9:49.
Okay. Chair, do you want me to cut the stream now?
Yeah, go ahead and cut it. We had no objections to adjourning. Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you. Cut the stream.